Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you of the views expressed here, not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, and actually the next 2 hours, they're going to be the views of our good friend Don Scott, who's about 4 years older than I am. He's a retired teacher up in Ontario, and we're going to be talking about chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, Dr. Don has written a book about this. Hopefully it'll be out in a month or two. We'll have a good supply of them on hand. But the incredible story about chronic fatigue. This disease was suddenly surfaced about 1980, just about 11 years after Dr. McDonald actually testified before the House Congressional Committee on Military Affairs and asked for $10 million to produce two diseases, one which was destroy the immune system, the other would be a chronic disabling disease. And 10 years later, we had the AIDS epidemic, and 10 years later, we had an epidemic of chronic disease. Now, well, we know that they've been planning on this for a long time. Back in 1970, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the man who, of course, was foreign policy advisor to President Carter and certainly the foreign policy advisor to the current President of the United States, Barack Obama. Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote a book in 1970 entitled Between Two Ages at the bottom of, I believe, page 56. He referred to a research being done by someone who'd written that said that, you know, within 30 years we'd be able to create storms and droughts and chronic diseases. Well, it's really very interesting, you know. Try to get a copy of Between Two Ages now up on Amazon. Last time I looked, I think they were something about $300 for a used copy of the book. $300 for a copy of the book? Well, that's quite normal. You see, they really don't want you to understand that there really is a group of people who run things in our country. Zbigniew Brzezinski organized the Trilateral Commission. They are our invisible government. Between 1976 and the year 2008, every president and or vice president was a member of the Trilateral Commission, and they control literally every branch of our government in the Obama administration. 11 members of this little group of 87 people hold key positions in the Obama administration. Literally all of the key positions are held by members of this little clique that Brzezinski organized, who back in 1970 talked about creating new chronic diseases. Well, one of them I believe, chronic fatigue syndrome affects millions of people. We have Lyme disease, we have fibromyalgia, we have certainly AIDS, we have Gulf War syndrome. Countless millions of people are chronically disabled by these man-made, in my estimation, diseases. And without further ado, Don Scott, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, it's my pleasure, Dr. Stan. You mentioned ages, and as you mentioned, I'm approaching the 85 mark. And I do want to apologize to your listeners that recently I've had some challenges to my health, and therefore I'm quite likely to be a little hesitant over certain of the facts and figures that I have in my research come upon at a very important work along the line that but nowhere near as important as your own. But even so, I've
Don, you don't have to apologize. You do a great job. And Don's going to talk to us about his book. And we've actually spent 2 hours on it before. We'll spend 2 hours this evening on the origins and the story of chronic fatigue, a disease that affects so many tragic people today.
Yes.
Well, Don, why don't you go right ahead with the story?
Well, with my own research, the story goes back to meeting an individual who had chronic fatigue syndrome, and I began tracking it down then.
Because we covered that the last time, and you're taking us up through. You told us the story about the teachers there up at Lake Tahoe on Incline Village, and then of course we had gotten, I think, to the first two pages of the table of contents, and we were getting onto the third page when we broke off with you last time.
Yes, and I guess there's no need to recap that, but as you say. My research began when I was introduced or met a lady at her request who had chronic fatigue syndrome, and I knew nothing about it, began researching it, and found that it led into a terrible labyrinth of biological warfare research, the efforts of the United States government, along with many, many other governments, and especially their ally, the government of Great Britain, and also the government of Canada, to my great regret. And they had reached a point where they were able to promise the congressmen who were members of the Black Budget Committee, who were the people to authorize further research, they were able to promise that in 1969, they were able to promise that within 5 to 10 years' time, there would be two new diseases. One disease would kill and the other disease would disable. And both diseases would be related to destroying the human immune system upon which we depend to maintain our reasonable levels of health. And Congress gave the Dr. MacArthur, who asked for the $10 million in 10 years' time. They gave him his request, and within a few years, we had two new diseases. One disease which would kill, and that, of course, was AIDS, and the other disease which would disable, and that, of course, was chronic fatigue syndrome. And I got involved in this terrible crime against humanity when a lady with chronic fatigue syndrome came to me and asked for my help some years ago, and I set out to find out just what chronic fatigue syndrome was and how I might help her, and I was led into this terrible labyrinth of crimes against humanity.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. And of course, Don is just telling us how he got started researching this chronic fatigue syndrome after meeting a woman who had this disease. And so basically, once he began studying it, it all traced back, of course, to a series of government experiments were done, biological warfare experiments to create a new chronic disease, using as the foundation for this a mycoplasma organism, a genetically altered mycoplasm, for which the government, I believe the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology, actually had the patent on it. So you picked the story up there, Don.
Yes, well, when this lady came to me and I began tracing her illness and found within a very, very short period of time that chronic fatigue syndrome was what they called the mirror image of AIDS. Certain physical characteristics of a person sick with AIDS were the mirror image in a person sick with chronic fatigue syndrome, and the researchers had learned how to use certain human qualities to disable people and to kill them, and that produced, in terms of the killing part, that produced AIDS, and in disabling it produced the chronic fatigue syndrome. And so that lady coming to me a number of years ago got me started on researching these terrible crimes against humanity, because not only was it killing off millions of people, and now the figure for AIDS is, for example, somewhere around 8,000 people a day are dying of AIDS, mostly in Africa. And the number of people with chronic fatigue syndrome, a disabling disease which they had to produce because they couldn't kill off 8,000 people a day in the so-called white civilizations. They could kill them off in Africa, but they couldn't kill them off in white populations, and so they had to disable them, and that, of course, was chronic fatigue syndrome. When the lady came to me and asked for my help because she was sick with chronic fatigue syndrome, and I began tracing it back through her illness and into history, found out a terrible amount about it. And one of the things I learned was that the important promoter in the earliest days of both chronic fatigue syndrome and AIDS was, of course, the Rockefeller apparat. The Rockefellers representing the wealthy elite who felt that they had to give God a hand by paring away people that they believed to be redundant to the world's population. And they did a great deal of research between 1905 and even up to the present time on how to manipulate the human body to kill or to disable. And the killing instrument they came up with was, of course, AIDS. The disabling instrument was, of course, chronic fatigue syndrome. And that all began way back in 1905, 1910, and so on, with Dr. Peyton Roos. Now, I don't think Dr. Roos was at all aware of where his research was going to lead people, but he was the one who had first discovered the disease agent, which we call now the mycoplasma, but which he called a fragment of the DNA of a human being. And that fragment, he never put an actual name on it, but it was a mycoplasma. And the historians who wanted to hide the reality of this disease changed it from mycoplasma to virus, and they talked about an immune-destroying virus. It wasn't an immune-destroying virus. It was an immune-destroying or an immune-compromising fragment, which is called the mycoplasma. And Dr. Roos and his successors led up to the Second World War, and the Rockefellers really got into the biological warfare efforts, because this was all part of their initial program anyway. And they came upon Dr. Bjorn Sigurdsson in Iceland. And Dr. Sigurdsson was a very gifted man, and he was brought over to the United States in about 1940 for 2 years, and he was given a great deal of specialized instruction at the Rockefeller Foundation in the United States. And after 2 years, Dr. Sigurdsson was sent back to Iceland to establish an institute for experimental pathology. Well, pathology, of course, is the disease end of it, and experimental, well, you can figure that one out. They were looking for ways and means of utilizing pathology or pathogenic means to do certain things to the human population. And Dr. Sigurdsson was back in Iceland after a couple of years in New York with the Rockefellers. And lo and behold, Rockefellers came up with several hundred thousand dollars to help establish an institute in Iceland. And in charge of it, they put Dr. Bjorn Sigurdsson. And no sooner did they get this whole thing established, about 1943-44 into 45, but the first really heavy outbreak of chronic fatigue syndrome developed in northern Iceland. And in charge of investigating was none other than Dr. Bjorn Sigurdsson, and financing the investigation was none other than the Rockefellers. And the first great epidemic of chronic fatigue syndrome came out of Iceland and was followed up from then on by a variety of other outbreaks in various places, financed again by the Rockefellers in very many, many instances. And in the meantime, the chronic fatigue was developing under the aegis of the Rockefellers. They were also going ahead at the same time with the development of their program for the killing agent, which was the AIDS agent. And they found that they could take and destroy the human immune system, upon which humanity depends to maintain relative good health. And with that immune system destroyed, people could be killed by a whole bunch of opportunistic diseases. And so they had two programs going on at the same time. And it started actually officially with the U.S. government in the period following the election of Dwight Eisenhower. Eisenhower brought into his cabinet as Assistant Secretary of Health one of the Rockefellers, Nelson Rockefeller, and Rockefeller as Assistant Secretary of Health amalgamated parts of the Department of Health with a certain illegal, but he went ahead with it anyway. Part of the Department of Defense. And in 1969, they were all ready to go to the United States government, the Black Budget Committee of Congress, made up of about 12 congressmen who approved illicit or illegal or criminal activities and paid for them with U.S. tax dollars. And the program under Rockefeller asked for money to develop two new diseases.
Now, that was Dr. MacArthur, wasn't it? Dr. David MacArthur.
Yes, Dr. MacArthur.
Right.
And the money was granted and went into effect in 1970. And within the 10-year time frame, two new diseases hit the world, chronic fatigue on the one hand and AIDS on the other.
And I think it's important that people understand that AIDS certainly has an HIV. This is a virus. In fact, it's found in sheep, as I think in northern Iceland, is it, someplace there? It's an Icelandic disease of Vizsla sheep. That HIV is a modification of the Vizsla sheep virus, and that in combination with the mycoplasm is what AIDS is about. But most doctors don't even know that almost every AIDS case has not only HIV, he also has the mycoplasm. Is that correct, Don?
Yes. Now, a lot of the scientific detail has never been revealed to the world, and much of it we don't know, but some of it has leaked out in other documents that have come to light, and certainly AIDS and chronic fatigue are aspects of the same disease, both affect the human immune system upon which we depend to maintain our relative good health. And when that disease-resisting component is gone, but not gone to the extent that it is fatal, people present with chronic fatigue syndrome. But if it's combined with a cofactor, a disease agent which is fatal, then it and the reduction of the human immune system combine to present with a disease which kills. And AIDS, there are all kinds of diseases people get that kill them.
But, of course, it's a result of their immune system being ravaged by this combination of two organisms. We'll be right back. Well, Don, you go ahead and pick the story up there.
Well, the two factors, the destroyed immune system and then other disease agents which would...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
And suddenly we're beginning to hear about mycoplasma influenza, mycoplasma pneumonia, so-called atypical pneumonia. Suddenly everybody's talking about mycoplasma. But what people do not understand is that there was a vast secret program. Now, the government, in its wisdom, actually prepared charts on this. The booklets, they're about 2 inches thick. They're called the Secret Virus Cancer Program. And this is where they were developing techniques to create new diseases. And they recruited some of the finest scientists in America. Many of them had no idea what it was all about. They were simply just hired, given large sums of money to do research. but it was all aimed at doing these, creating these new diseases. Now, orders were given then to destroy all the evidence. After all, when AIDS came out and people started dying, why, they couldn't let the American people know. So they actually had 15 volumes, one for every year. Well, they managed to destroy, as far as we know, every copy of the first 8 volumes of it, but somebody picked up a copy of the 8th volume, and of course, I think Don has all those from 8 to 15. The government, of course, did everything. I mean, how could you let the American people know that you'd unleash these terrible diseases on the populace? So they set out to destroy them, and fortunately they didn't do a very good job. And I have a copy, several copies of the, I think I have 8 or 9 volumes of the Special Virus Cancer Project, where they, of course, talk about what each scientist did and putting it all together. How we're going to create these terrible, terrible, deadly, and disabling new diseases. So pick up the story there, Don.
Yes, well, we, first of all, tackled the disease agent that which was a co-disease results in death, and that is AIDS. And we produced our book, AIDS, The Crime Beyond Belief, which you have been very helpful, Doctor, in sharing with the public, because actually we have a very, very hard time getting information about these programs out into the light of day. Because, of course, the media treat it as being some kind of conspiracy theory, ha-ha-ha sort of thing. And so it's very little is said to the public, except through educational programs such as your own. And we produced AIDS, The Crime Beyond Belief, and is the other disease, the one that disables, chronic fatigue syndrome, we're producing now, or working now, on the second volume of the trilogy that we're out to produce, which will be AIDS, chronic fatigue, and cancer, because they're all related. And we're working on the chronic fatigue volume now, and it is a counterpart, or pardon me, a co-volume with the one already produced, AIDS, The Crime Beyond Belief. However, the two programs were going ahead simultaneously, and both were being worked on in the program that you mentioned, and the volumes that were produced under the Special Virus Cancer Program, they called it, they set out at one point to try to destroy all of those volumes, and as you mentioned, they were almost successful. But we at our foundation have managed to get about 8 or 9 of these volumes, and we are able to share a lot of information with the public to reveal the essential details that both AIDS and chronic fatigue, and to a great extent cancer, are man-advanced or man-refined or man-modified disease agents, which in one case AIDS kill, in the other case chronic fatigue disable, and in the course of course with cancer both kill and disable. And we've been working on the second volume of our 3 volumes, which is the volume on chronic fatigue syndrome. And it's a very complicated picture, so if I am rather ambiguous at certain points, it's not because we don't know a lot of facts and figures we'd like to share with the world. Is that the facts and figures are so convoluted and so hard to believe, actually, that...
Hold that thought, Don. We'll be back in just a moment here.
The joy of the Lord. The presence of Christ.
Go right ahead.
Well, we started out on this program to find out the cause of chronic fatigue syndrome, it led us into the state we're at now, where we now know that a disease agent called the mycoplasma is the disease agent that is at work in both cases of chronic fatigue and of AIDS. And our efforts have been to track down how these disease agents are working in the human family, in the one case to disable, which is, of course, the chronic fatigue. And the disabling is designed to affect mainly women, and it works through the fact that it depends upon the level of disease agent in the blood before it begins to present as a disease. And women have about a fifth less blood than men do, pound for pound. So if you have a 100-pound man and a 100-pound woman, that man will have one-fifth more blood than his female counterpart. So therefore, the female will have the critical disease agent level earlier than will the man. And therefore, women present with chronic fatigue syndrome much faster than men do. So you'll have maybe five female patients with chronic fatigue syndrome to one male patient. And the disease agent works by destroying the body's ability to generate and utilize energy. And of course, that is a consequence of the fact that the energy is generated in the cells in small batteries, you might call them, of the cells, which are the mitochondria. And those cells, if they are infected by the disease agent, chronic fatigue disease agent, it will ultimately destroy the cell. And when it destroys the cell, it destroys the ability to generate energy. And women, of course, being susceptible five or six times more frequently than men to this disease agent, present with the disease five or six times as frequently as men do. And therefore, it was very easy for the health figures in the U.S. government and the Canadian government and so on.
Hold that thought, Don. We're going to be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Don Scott, and Don really is a journalist. He's been studying this for many years. He actually has established an institute up there where he and his son work, and of course they've put on meetings and invited some of the most eminent scientists in the world to come to these meetings. They've come to talk about this, but Don is talking about, first of all, chronic fatigue. And chronic fatigue is a mycoplasm infection that attacks the intracellular, they're called mitochondria, they're the little batteries within the cells that give us energy. And if you, of course, sometimes you get older like I am, why your mitochondria don't work quite so well, but of course if you can attack these with a disease process, which is what happens in AIDS, what happens in chronic fatigue, what happens in fibromyalgia, what happens in the Gulf War illness, and these are all examples of these chronic mycoplasm infections. At least a large component of the disease, certainly in Gulf War, is I think probably a 40 to 45% of Gulf War illness. These people have these genetically modified mycoplasm, and certainly almost all AIDS cases do, and certainly the chronic fatigue. This is seems to be the active component, and certainly the studies that have been done to track down the mycoplasm, they find these people have this chronic mycoplasm infection. Now, you'll find this in Lyme disease as well, and of course you'll find this even more frequently in autistic children for some reason. Dr. Nicholson's gone ahead and evaluated that, but we're talking about chronic fatigue syndrome, a specific clinical entity that has disabled probably a couple of a million Americans, a very well-organized, coordinated effort on the part of the Centers for Disease Control to block any effective study of this because Congress kept appropriating money to find out what causes it. And what does the CDC do? Why, they have the psychiatrists do a study on it, trying to make out that anybody who has chronic fatigue syndrome obviously has to be crazy, and yet I know at least one of my doctors I practiced with for many years acquired chronic fatigue after having a kidney transplant and a transfusion because they cannot, or they do not check for the mycoplasm before they give blood transfusions, and this is another means by which this is being spread, but it can be spread certainly by other means of intimate contact. But go ahead, Don, and pick up the story on chronic fatigue syndrome.
Yes, well, as I mentioned, the disease agent was designed to affect mainly women, and because of the natural fact that women have about one-fifth less blood, pound for pound, than their male counterparts do, and consequently, the level of contamination in the blood is reached much sooner with women than it is with men. So therefore, more women present with chronic fatigue syndrome than do men. And it was very easy then for the medical people who were the propagandists hiding the reality of the disease to say that the women weren't really sick. It was just their imagination. They couldn't cope with the realities of a harsh stern world, and so they were able to hold women tragically ill with a very, very disabling, physically disabling disease. They were able to hold them up to the world as being just unable to cope with the realities of life and seeking a way out by feigning some kind of illness.
Well, that's what they did with, of course, the Gulf War illness, which, of course, was primarily men, though, in Gulf War, but at least 40% of these were mycoplasm chronic infections with this genetically alternated amount of mycoplasm, and they said, oh, yeah, those fellas just all, they're all crazy, you know, post-traumatic stress, but they weren't. And, of course, they all have a myriad of diseases, a very real set of symptoms and signs and physical findings. But, of course, everything had to be done to conceal the existence of this spectrum of disease, after all. The American people might begin to suspect the nature of the evil we're dealing with if they realize that Lyme disease, of course, which is an akin disease to this, it's caused by Borrelia, but many of the Lyme patients actually have this same altered mycoplasm in it, as well as, of course, the chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, AIDS, Gulf War illness, but it's always, oh, it's all psychological. It's all, no, it's not psychological. They just do not want the American people to realize. And when you see how effective their propaganda is, an awful lot of the people begin to think that maybe they are crazy. But go ahead, Don.
Yes, it was very easy for the propagandists in the Department of Health of the United States government to make out that chronic fatigue syndrome was a disease of women who were unable to cope with the challenges of modern life. And unfortunately, that terrible, terrible lie has caught on to such a great extent that so many people in the world today who, when they encounter somebody with chronic fatigue, believe the myth that, well, it's all in their head, that if they only took up line dancing or some other activity, they would get over this tragic disease. That's not it at all. The disease is a consequence of the fact that they are carrying a very hard-to-detect disease agent, which causes the energy producers of the cells to lose their capacity to generate energy and present with utter debilitating fatigue. And it is this utter debilitating fatigue which also is at work in people with Gulf War syndrome. In fact, it's the same disease agent at work, and it was put to the test by the United States government because they had not only developed it for their own use, but they had also supplied it to Saddam Hussein, who used it then on American troops as kind of firing a shot across the bow of the American war machine, when the Americans realized that they were being hit with one of their own disease agents that they had provided to Saddam Hussein, they had to get the heck out of Iraq in a hurry, because if they knew that not only had they provided Saddam Hussein with a disabling disease agent, they had also provided him with all kinds of anthrax-based disease agents, and that if they didn't get out of Iraq when the first Scud missiles deposited the disabling agent on the Allied troops in Iraq in the Gulf attacks, that the next volume, volleys of Scud missiles would possibly carry anthrax, and there would be up to 10 or 15,000 Allied people dead on the deserts. So they got the heck out of Iraq in a hurry when they realized that Saddam Hussein was able to utilize what had been provided to him by the American military. And but he decided, well, it's not worth being destroyed as a country, so he destroyed his own weapons supply, and 10 years later, with the weapons supply of Iraq known to have been destroyed, George Bush Jr. Sought revenge for the humiliating defeat of his father's effort against Iraq, and relaunched the Gulf War by attacking Iraq. So disease agent that disables was used as a shot across the bow. The disease that can destroy to a very high percentage of fatalities was in the wings, ready to be used, and the Americans capitulated in the first Gulf War, and then in the second Gulf War, they knew that Saddam had destroyed his weaponry, and they invaded, but then they had all kinds of other problems with the nation that they invaded, and now under Mr. Obama, they are making some kinds of efforts to reduce their presence in Iraq, but they're certainly not getting out of there entirely.
And, of course, we're going to keep our troops in Afghanistan. We're going to expand the war in Afghanistan and just hope and pray it doesn't lead to a war with Pakistan and the whole Muslim world. That's my fear. But, of course, we're going to keep, but no combat troops in Iraq, just support troops, about 140,000 of them. You mean to tell me that they're going to take the rifles and the hand grenades and all away from our troops over there? Well, no, they're just not going to be combat troops. They're just going to be troops. Ladies and gentlemen, every military soldier is a combat troop, potentially. And so it's all, to simply confuse the American people. After all, the president promised he was going to get out of Iraq, and he's going to pull some of the troops out by next October, a year from October, but he's going to leave, I don't know, how many tens of thousands of troops over there. You say one thing, you do another, and most Americans can't figure out what's going on, so they go back to watching NBA football and NBA basketball and NFL football. Go right ahead, Don.
Yes, well, the upshot was that very early on, especially with the election of President Eisenhower, Americans got into the production of biological weapons full-time. And one weapon was to kill, which was AIDS, and the other was to disable, which was chronic fatigue syndrome. They were aided and embedded to quite an extent by their British allies, by their Canadian allies, and especially by their Australian allies. And so the world is faced today with the two great diseases that were unleashed into the world as a consequence of American research into biological weaponry. And as I say, the one weapon designed to disable, the other weapon designed to kill. And we are now in the process of sorting out the vast amounts of information that people have provided to us on both the disease agent that kills AIDS and the disease agent that disables chronic fatigue syndrome, and all the diseases that then are related to these, because many of the other diseases that are more or less what you might call modern plagues have as a fundamental basis of their disabling quality the ability to destroy the human immune system or reduce its effectiveness. And so many of what they call the emerging diseases are diseases which were standing in the doorway all along but weren't able to get into the human body because of the body's immune system. And the body's immune system now being compromised the way it is, all kinds of diseases have found their way into the human family and are killing or disabling all kinds of people. The two big ones, as we've already noted, AIDS that kills and chronic fatigue, which disables. And our work with tracking down the details of chronic fatigue syndrome complements and has been complemented by the work we did in tracking down the disease agent that kills and or totally disables, which is the one involved with AIDS. Well, we have been working on this for a number of years now, and as I mentioned off-air, Dr. Stan, we're putting together all the information we have on the disease agent that disables, and that being chronic fatigue syndrome, along with the other diseases that are related to it but have certain modifications because of the variations in different people's immune systems and so on, and different people's characteristics, genetic characteristics. Some are more susceptible to one disease than another, and but they have as their basis the fact that the human immune system has been reduced in its effectiveness, in its capacity to fight off disease or foreign disease agents.
Well, you know, I think it's important for people out there to understand. You would think that if this had really happened, if this was really produced, somebody would have come forward. Well, you have to understand, if you work for the government or you work under government contract, you are sworn to secrecy, and if you violate it, they can put you in prison. However, there's a book, it's called Full Disclosure, written by Dr. Gary Glum, and it's the story of a gentleman who's dying of pancreatic cancer who'd been part of this macabre movement to create these terrible new diseases, specifically acquired immunodeficiency disease, and he tells his story in a book called Full Disclosure. I was just up on the internet. Of course, you can get a used copy for $33. Most people aren't going to put that out for a used copy of a book, but it's a fascinating story. As this man unfolds the story of his involvement in creating this terrible new disease. We also carry the book by Dr. Garth Nicholson, certainly one of the most eminent scientists in the world, with probably well over 700 peer-reviewed articles. Dr. Nicholson, formerly certainly a tenured professor of the MB Anderson Clinic in Houston, forced to leave that area because of threats on his life, and when they killed his superior, who was going to come forward and talk about some of these experiments, and they shot him in the head six times, that was the time for Dr. Nicholson and his wife to leave after several unsuccessful attempts on their life. But we carry their book, Project Daylily, where they give the fictional story of their life, the threats on their lives, the attempts to kill them, and, of course, the background to the AIDS epidemic and chronic fatigue, and of course, how this was developed actually by the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology, at least the mycoplasm. I'm sure it was worked on by many, many people, all though funded to create a terrible, terrible new disease. So, and it goes into the background of the formation of AIDS and its relationship to mycoplasma infection. And I dare say there's not one doctor in 1,000 who has any idea that this is a co-infection. Wouldn't you agree with that, Don?
Yes, I would agree with it. And I think it's important to emphasize the sacrifices that have been made by scientists like Dr. Nicholson and Dr. Harold Clark, who passed away a couple of years ago. These gentlemen are eminent scientists. They came upon the reality of the diseases that we're talking about. And as good scientists and good human beings, they felt it was necessary for them to tell the truth. And Dr. Nicholson, of course, he was at the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Texas. And his stepdaughter came back from the Gulf War, ill with Gulf War illness. He tested her blood and found this disease agent, the mycoplasma, was present in her blood, so he asked other...
Hold that thought down. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Don, we've got 3 minutes to get on with this, and then we're going to go to a break, and then we'll do the second hour. But let's get back first to the this chronic fatigue syndrome, and really how...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
It's a Skull Valley incident. Books of Badon is written in the past. Well worthwhile reading. The AIDS, the Crime Beyond Belief is a phenomenal, a great big book. I think it's close to 600 pages or more. But it's got so much information and well indexed, so you can check the facts out for yourself. Right now, of course, in America, I just got the report as of 2006 from the government today, the CDC, over 560,000 Americans have died of this disease. And, of course, there are probably a million living with the disease. It is predominantly almost half of the people who died in the United States are black because the disease has an affinity for black people. This is why it's decimating Africa today, much more so than the white population of Africa. And certainly in the white population of the United States, the disease is specifically designed to kill off blacks. How could anybody be that cruel and ruthless and unconcerned about human suffering? Well, there are people out there in just that category. If you'd like, of course, we do carry Dr. Garth Nicholson's excellent book. It's a fictionalized story of his life there at MD Anderson Clinic and what happened after when they discovered the experiments were carried out at Huntsville, Texas, where they were using these infections experimentally on the prison population. And then, of course, what happened, a couple of Dr. Nicholson's medical students gone on to become pathologists. They were the state pathologists, and, of course, the bodies of the people who died were supposed to be sent to the state laboratory, but they weren't. They were sent to a military lab to be autopsied, and when they complained about it, they died mysterious deaths. And then when they killed Dr. Nicholson's superior there, a retired Air Force colonel, Dr. Nicholson left MD Anderson and came to California. His book, Project Daylily, that's Project Daylily we carry. We have a great talk put on by Dr. Nicholson. It's available on DVD. We call it Terrible New Diseases. Terrible New Diseases. We recommend all of these. We recommend Don's book, Dr. Nicholson's book, and of course the DVD with Dr. Nicholson. How do you put things into their overall perspective? Well, let me suggest you get my talk on the planned population control. That's planned population control, the talk I gave for the Prophecy Club, but it's really quite good. We've got the documentation on all of it and all of the terrible things that are going on today. We have a four-tape set called The New Order of the Barbarians. It's interviews with a Dr. Denikin, who back in 1969 had heard a Dr. Richard Day, who had been the medical director for Planned Parenthood, lay out the whole program of population control, how they were going to create new and terrible diseases to kill off large numbers of people. Now, this is 1969. How they were going to legalize abortion. Remember, abortion wasn't legalized till 3 years later, 4 years later. How they were going to, of course, suppress the effective treatments for cancer and keep them in the basement of the Rockefeller Foundation. How they were going to, of course, one of the things they were going to do was begin paying sports figures such fabulous salaries that nobody'd want to be a scientist, everybody'd want to be an athlete. How they were going to begin building better cars in Japan than American cars, so that American industry would begin, of course, losing its place in the world. All of these stories, you'll hear Dr. Denikin, my interview with him, Randy Engel's interview with him, important parts of history you're never going to hear elsewhere. The tape set is called The New Order of the Barbarians. The New Order of the Barbarians, probably one of the most important tape sets we have. We actually have the transcript of it, of at least a couple of the interviews available. It's the only one we actually have a transcript on. You need to have this information. You need to help us get it out across America. So remember our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Or, of course, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today, and they're killing our people, and most people have no idea what's going on. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, and go there and pray for Radio Liberty. Hail, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Don Scott. Of course, he's been researching all of these. He's really an investigator. He's a retired high school teacher who took this upon him a decade and a half ago and has done some amazing work and accumulated a great deal of amazing information, and he's putting this into book form so that the information will be available. We do carry his book, AIDS, the Crime Against Civilization, and of course we'll be carrying his book on chronic fatigue as soon as it's available. Don, how soon will that book be available, do you think?
At the very outset, it'll be 2 months' time. We do hope that it'll be within that time frame, though, 2 months. We're doing the editing now, and that is a huge, huge job, because it turns out that when we follow all of the paths that open to us, the paths of the politics and the paths of the science and so on, we found ourselves with a huge amount of material and winnowing it down to 400 or 500 pages has been a huge job, and making it coherent is equally part of that huge job. So we do think that the book on chronic fatigue syndrome and the chronic aspects of the disease will be about 2 months' time.
All right, well, we're certainly looking forward to seeing it. But you go right ahead, Don. Pick up the story there.
Well, as I say, Dr. Stan, there's so many elements to this story. There's the political element, and there's the financial element, and the medical element, the scientific element. And it's hard to fit the pieces together, although we have to try to do that. And one way of looking at it is the people who have been in touch with us when they discovered our work. For example, Dr. Hugh Feudenberg, a very eminent scientist in the United States, and has done a lot of very important work with human health and the challenges of chronic diseases. He gave me a phone call one day and told me, this is Dr. Feudenberg speaking, he wanted to know why or how we had happened upon the mycoplasma as a factor in chronic fatigue syndrome. And I explained to him the origins of our research, and he thanked me very much and closed off the conversation. But he phoned back about a week later and said, I followed up on what you told me about the mycoplasma, and he said, I didn't realize that it had the role it has in chronic fatigue syndrome and in AIDS, but tell me, how does this disease agent get into people and so on? And we discussed that and rang off the conversation. And then about a week later, Dr. Feudenberg was on the line again, and we chatted some more, and this went on for several weeks. And then one time he phoned me, he said, Dr. Scott, and in that he was not quite accurate, because I'm not a doctor. I have a Master of Science, but not a doctorate. But he did me the misplaced the favor of referring to me as doctor. Dr. Scott, he said, I'm on Bill Clinton's health council, and you've told me an awful lot about the mycoplasma that I didn't really realize was the factor it is. And he said, we're having a meeting of Bill Clinton's health council in Washington in the weekend, and I'm going to raise the question of the mycoplasma, which, according to your research, is such an important factor in AIDS and in chronic fatigue. And I said, well, good luck. And he said, well, what do you mean, good luck? And I said, well, you'll find out when you raise the subject at the health council. And he seemed a little puzzled by that and thanked me and hung up.
Hold that thought. We're going to have to cover that in just a moment. Our guest this evening is Don Scott. And, of course, there's fascinating information on AIDS. We have his book on AIDS, and we'll have this other one soon. Well, Don, what happened when Dr. Feudenberg presented this at the health council?
He assured me he was going to raise it at Mr. President Clinton's health council. And then I didn't hear from him again for about a year and a half or 2 years. And I got a very curt call out of the blue. Dr. Scott Feudenberg here. Tell your friend Nicholson that the feds are out to get him. My goodness, this is an awful paranoid attitude. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, he's your friend, you ask him. And he hung up. And this is quite surprising. And then I realized... No,
of course, he was referring to Dr. Garth Nicholson,
who we've had
as a frequent guest on our program. So anyway, what did you do at that point?
Well, I phoned Dr. Nicholson and told him, and he was puzzled as well. But the point then brought out was that the fact that I never heard anything about how Dr. Feudenberg made out raising the question of the mycoplasma, chronic fatigue, and AIDS at the Health Council chaired by Donna Shalala, the Secretary of Health under President Clinton. And then I was compelled to turn my research to Dr. Shalala, and I found that so much of her efforts were directed to hiding the realities of Gulf War illnesses and Gulf War syndrome and chronic fatigue syndrome and so on. It turned out that any time anybody made any effort to point to certain realities that should be investigated, Dr. Shalala effectively stifled that research. Now, we're treating that in our book that's coming out, and people will be able to evaluate that evidence when they see it. But what it points up is the fact that whether the party in power is Republican or whether it is Democrat, there is still a very significant element in both parties that hide the reality of AIDS, that hide the reality of Gulf War illnesses, and hide the reality of cancer. And
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Don Scott. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Don Scott. Don was telling us that Dr. Feudenberg was going to, Chris, to bring this up at the subject of the mycoplasma being an important part of AIDS and chronic fatigue at the Health Council, the President's Health Council. He was a member of it, but Don didn't hear from him for a couple of years, a year and a half, and then Feudenberg just called and said, well, just tell your friend Garth Nicholson, that the feds are out to get him. And then Don simply went on to say that Donna Shalala, who headed the Health Council, who was the, think that she was the Surgeon General for a time, Donna Shalala was doing everything they could to cover up the relationship between, Gulf War illness and certainly the AIDS and the chronic fatigue and all these diseases, the relationship to mycoplasma. The last thing they wanted was for the American people to find out. And I found the same thing when I went back to the CDC to try to talk to them about using standard and effective public health techniques to try to stop the AIDS epidemic. We're not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic. Even to this very date here in California, HIV is not a reportable disease. We're not doing routine HIV testing on every child all across America. They do this in other countries, but it's not allowed in so many of our states. Why? Because they do not want to try to stop the spread of this disease. The latest figures show about 20,000 people die every year of AIDS in America, a disease we're not trying to stop. About 40,000 contract the disease, so we have well over a million people infected, half a million have already dead, 560,000 by the latest statistics. But suddenly 560,000. But we cannot let the American people know we're not trying to stop the spread of AIDS, either in America or in Africa, although we spend all this money, oh my goodness, but we won't use standard public health techniques. We'll use it with every other disease, but not with AIDS. And the question is, why? And why would you try to cover up the cause of chronic fatigue? There's a wonderful book, Don introduced me to it. It's called It's written by Hillary Johnson. What's the title of the book, Don?
Osler's Web.
Osler's Web. Let me suggest, if you have a chance to get the book or you can buy it up on the Internet, Osler's Web by Hillary Johnson goes into the background of chronic fatigue syndrome, written many years ago. Excellent book. I recommend that very much to our listeners. And you must understand that this is a disease that you or your family could contract and your whole life would be ruined. But go right ahead, Don. Go ahead with the story you were telling us. Donna Shalala was doing everything she could to cover up the truth about this disease, as is the standard procedure that the people of the CDC and U.S. Public Health Service, they want to keep their jobs, they do what they're told, and we conceal the truth from the physicians and the American people.
Yes, indeed, and that is the reality that came out of my research into Dr. Donna Shalala, and the reason that Mr. Clinton appointed her Secretary of Health in the first place. She could be counted upon and keep secret the elements that needed to be kept secret from the public of the United States, because the people of the United States, according to certain levels of government, need not and should not, and it would be a threat to the governments if they did know the truth about not only chronic fatigue syndrome, but the truth about AIDS, and in the long run, the truth about cancer, which is the next volume we'll be working on, and we've got huge amounts of research on cancer, but getting all of this organized is a terrible time-consuming element. But anyway,
okay, let me just make a comment here. I think it's really so important that you understand that so much of this has to do with genetic engineering. We have people all across the world who have hemophiliacs. It's a genetic disease. And so basically, when they knew the factor aid they were giving them was contaminated with HIV, with a virus that was going to kill them by the HIV and probably the mycoplasma, despite the fact they knew that the factor VIII was contaminated, they gave it to hemophiliacs in the United States. They gave it to hemophiliacs in Canada. They gave it to hemophiliacs in Japan and France. We know of that, at least in Japan and France. They tried the health officers who did this to kill off the hemophiliacs. But nobody wants to explain really why they did this. If you're going to have genetic engineering, you've got to kill off people with diseases, genetic diseases. And in my estimation, this is why when they knew the factor VIII was contaminated and it was going to kill the recipients, they went right ahead and used it anyway. And later on, of course, they were able to find that the heat would actually kill the virus, and so they used the heat to correct the one. But they used the supplies that they knew were going to kill. And nobody is ever held responsible for murder. Go right ahead, Don.
Yes, well, we, in our research, came upon, for example, Dr. Brian Mahi. Dr. Mahi was head of research and receiving millions of dollars from the United States Congress to investigate chronic fatigue syndrome, and he was getting nowhere, 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 but he was getting money, money, money. And finally, under the Whistleblowers Act, a member of his department said that Dr. Mahi is not using the money being given to investigate chronic fatigue syndrome being given by the U.S. Congress. Here were the congressmen getting all kinds of letters and phone calls and personal visits from people who were related to or had themselves the disease chronic fatigue syndrome, and they were finding that nothing was being done about the disease and about the sufferings that they were going through. And the Congress had been voting money to Dr. Brian Mahi to investigate this terrible disease. And along came a person of his department under the Whistleblowers Act. I just forget his name in a moment. And He said, well, the thing is, Dr. Mahi is not using this money to investigate chronic fatigue syndrome at all, even though that's what the money is given to him to do. And Congress had no alternative but to investigate Dr. Brian Mahi, and lo and behold, they found out that the whistleblower was right, that Dr. Mahi was getting vast amounts of money from the U.S. Congress to investigate chronic fatigue syndrome. But because Dr. Brian Mahi, according to our scientific research, was one of the people involved in the background of not only chronic fatigue syndrome but of AIDS, he, of course, could not spend the money to reveal the truth. And so he was spending the money in ways that are still unknown. And now, ordinarily, a person who takes millions of dollars of money voted by Congress to investigate anything and takes that money and uses it for a whole bunch of other things, including things that he can't account for. He accounted for a number of very strange expenditures, but a great amount of money disappeared that he had no explanation for. And instead of Congress arresting him, instead of Congress firing him, they put him into a back office somewhere and just made him incommunicado as far as the public is concerned, and they appointed a new director into his job. Well, I was very interested in this, and I phoned up the Centers for Disease Control and wanted to speak to former director Dr. Brian Mahi, and a voice came on and said, who's calling? And I told him who was calling, and he said, well, sorry, you're not allowed to speak to Dr. Mahi. He's incommunicado as far as the department is concerned, and therefore don't bother phoning back. And I didn't phone back, but the thing is, they did not fire Dr. Brian Mahi for misappropriating millions of dollars of congressional money.
But the thing is that they had to block any effort to find out what this was about. Any legitimate scientist could have followed the trail and found out what was they knew it was an infectious agent. And, of course, by that time, I suspect the information was readily available. But they've got to give the people the idea that they're doing something. It's sort of like what's going on with the financial crisis. Today they're spending trillions of dollars, but it's not going to do any good. They know it's not going to do any good. They know what needs to be done. They're not going to do it, but they've got to give the people the impression that they're doing something, and that was just what they did with AIDS, spending billions of dollars, but never trying to stop the spread of the disease. That's what they did with chronic fatigue, spending millions of dollars, but not trying to find the origin of this. But you've got to give the impression you're doing something, and of course it's all a lie. The last thing they want is for the American people to learn the truth. Go right ahead.
Yes, well, Dr. Mahi was certainly in that category. He was getting money from the U.S. government, and he was appropriating it for all kinds of purposes that he was not able to account for, and yet he was not fired. He was demoted from being the director of the Centers for Disease Control or whatever it was, but he was not fired, and he was not prosecuted, and he was hidden away in the back office, and they wouldn't allow me to talk to him on the phone, and they wouldn't allow anybody else to talk to him because he just had to be kept quiet, and one way to do that is to continue his paycheck until he is due to retire. And then that related to another experience I had in my research. There was here in Canada a very, very fine lady, a nurse in the Gulf War, and she became ill with Gulf War illness and was complaining to the government about the fact that the Canadian government was not responding to her illness in a proper way. And the general in charge of the Canadian Army got in touch with the Major Cook of the Medical Corps, Canadian Medical Corps, and he said to Major Cook, tell me, Major Cook, about Gulf War illness, and this particular captain, a very distinguished female captain who became ill after a Scud attack in the Gulf.
Hold that thought, Don. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Don, you go right ahead. You're telling us about the general is calling this medical officer to find out what happened to the...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
To conceal the fact that some doctors have come across some very important findings, and the last thing they want the American people to know the truth about this, and so then they accuse people of being quacks, those people, and I can never forget, there was a doctor who was in charge of the National Institute, his name was Dean Burke, and he'd called me, I'd talked to him about the use of Laetril for the treatment of cancer. He was the number one man in cancer research to the National Cancer Institute. Institute, and he said Laetrile worked. And I asked him, "What about the studies at this one of the large institutes, the Sloan Kettering Institute, that said it didn't work?" And he said those were simply covered up. They had specifically designed the studies to conceal the effectiveness of Laetrile. Well, certainly, the people who deal with quacks, of course, I called this fellow one day, he was telling me how crazy this guy, Dr. Dean Burke, was. Dean Burke was the number one man in chemotherapy research at the National Cancer Institute, a subdivision of the NIH. But anybody who tries to get out the truth will be silenced one way or another. There's a doctor in dental work. He's a professor up at the University of Toronto. Harvey Lambeck is. I called him. I asked him to come to my program to talk about the danger of water fluoridation. He said, "I can't come." I said, "What do you mean you can't come on my program?" He said, "I've been threatened. I mean, they threatened me. They've threatened my family. I can't come onto your program." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about the fact that they're poisoning the American people with water fluoridation. And here's a professor who knows what's going on, and you can go up on the Internet and pull down some of his interviews and articles that he put on, and they're still up on the Internet. Harvey Lambeck. But, of course, he was afraid to come on. I've talked to so many people who've been threatened to keep them from revealing the truth. There is an organized effort to conceal the truth from the American people. So I do hope that many of you out there will listen very carefully to what Don is saying, because example after example of covering up the truth about chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, AIDS, Gulf War syndrome, Lyme disease, which in all probability developed there, certainly at Plum Island, which is right off the coast of Connecticut, a city named Lyme. And now this disease is spread all throughout our country. Several million people are ill with chronic Lyme disease. And any doctor who tries to treat this, why, the medical boards ordinarily will go after his license. And these people suffer. Silently, all across America. Go right ahead, Don.
Yes, well, what you just said is so true, and we're involved in trying to help people all the time who have attempted to establish with various pension boards and employers and so on the reality of their illness and can get nowhere because the level of cooperation they get from the U.S. government, the Canadian government, the British government, and so on, is very, very low. And it's low because so much of the government is, in all these instances, are culprits, initiating culprits in the crime against humanity. One thing that I think is very important to establish the reality of our evidence that the so-called departments of health in these countries are actually departments of obfuscation, of hiding realities that if known would explain illnesses and disease and deaths and so on. And one of the most blatant efforts in this connection was the effort made by the U.S. government when they attempted to hide the reality of MK Ultra, MK Delta, and MK Naomi. And when they went to investigate these secret programs, CIA programs with the code names that they had, they found that all of the documentation literally had been destroyed by the United States government, and that the reality would not be found out about these diseases by finding the records, because the records had been destroyed.
Well, but there was one box they forgot to destroy, and somebody got that box. So somebody actually had saved that box. They did have some of the information, but they did everything they could to destroy it. They couldn't let the American people know the truth.
God bless America.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Don Scott, and Don was just talking about the intentional cover up of the background of MK Ultra, MK Naomi, MK Bluebird, all these government mind control experiments. But you go right ahead with the story there, Don.
Yes, well, as I mentioned, the MK Ultra, MK Delta, and MK Naomi. Now, the MK stands for monkey kidney, because it was on the kidneys of monkeys, the kidneys monkeys euthanized or killed, their kidneys removed, they was ground up into a mash and seeded with the mycoplasma disease agent, and they could raise all kinds of mycoplasma for the kind of research they wanted to do, and then they could have that mycoplasma available to kill people in Africa with AIDS and disabled people in other countries with chronic fatigue syndrome.
Don, before we go on, I just want to know, have you ever found a government document that ever said that? We know, of course, that exactly what you're saying is exactly true.
Growing these terrible
viruses on monkey kidneys, but some people say that's a German phrase that was picked up here in America. So do you have anything from the government or any government official that MK was monkey kidney?
Yes, we have several documents, including most of them are U.S. government documents, which clearly indicates that the MK is monkey kidneys, and it's spelled out. It's spelled out in one document in particular that the MK stands for monkey kidney, and that will be in our book on chronic fatigue, which is the one we're working on now. The fact that all the documentation on these monkey kidney programs, which was monkey kidney Ultra and monkey kidney Delta and monkey kidney Naomi, those documents were all destroyed except for, now I can give you the exact number of pages here, except for 171 pages out of millions and millions of pages of documents were taken by the U.S. government dealing with these programs and were shredded and destroyed. Now,
hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Don Scott as we explore what really goes on behind the scenes. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Don was simply saying that the government destroyed all the documents. They shredded the documents on the MK Ultra and MK Naomi and all these and a myriad of government, the CIA programs. Why did they destroy them? Because they cannot let the American people know that they were doing these terrible experiments, mind control experiments, creating dissociated personalities, destroying the minds of people. They were experimenting on American citizens. And of course, what the American people would find that out, why they'd lose confidence in the CIA and why they would even restrict these altruistic people who were just destroying people's lives in the name of science, sort of like the Nazis did over in the concentration camps. And maybe that's why the people in the CIA had worked with the Nazi doctors and helped Mengele and Bormann and all the others to escape to South America. But that's a different subject. Anyway, Don was simply saying that they had actively shredded all the documents. It's against the law, but I mean, who's going to go after the Central Intelligence Agency for violating the law or killing people or destroying their lives or their minds? Go ahead, Don.
Right. Well, they had destroyed essentially all the documentation, but there were some 70 pages escaped, and they were published by the Carter government. In a document that was available from the U.S. Printing Office called Project MK Ultra, the CIA's Program of Research in Behavioral Modification. That isn't what it was at all, although they did have an element of behavior modification involved in the MK program, but to say that that was the one and only goal is to hide the reality. The reality was that the MK Delta was a program to develop a version of the AIDS agent based upon the Mississippi Delta Tulane University, and it was in Tulane University that they established a monkey farm, and they were using the monkeys to take their harvest their kidneys and to grow the mycoplasma, and then they were using the mycoplasma and first in testing in various prisons in Texas and New Orleans, and then in the program of vaccinating people in certain African and other countries in order to kill them off with AIDS. But they, in their program, when they had destroyed all of this literature, they published a few pages that they did salvage, and they let on that the pages dealt only with behavioral modification, which they did do, but that was only a very small part of it. And we have tracked down what they were really talking about when they talked about MK Delta. That was the Mississippi Delta, and that was Tulane University. And more recently, we discovered what they were talking about with NK Naomi. Now, they've had a long history of trying to find a rationale for Naomi as a code name used by the CIA. But we have discovered that a Dr. E.J. Field, who was with the British government doing research into, among other things, biological warfare, worked at what they called the Naomi Branscum Research Center. And this is Dr. Field. And we demonstrate the in the notes and so on that we're refining to publish in our next book, we're demonstrating that MK Naomi was the British counterpart to MK Delta in the United States. Delta in the United States, as I say, based upon the Tulane University, and Naomi based upon the Branscum Research Center in the United Kingdom. And we have a huge amount of evidence that we're now able to relate to the MK programs, including the parts that were destroyed by the CIA following Watergate. There was a great fear that a number of secrets were going to come out, so the CIA ordered the destruction of the documentation of MK Ultra, MK Delta, and MK Naomi, and we have been able to put that information back into circulation by, well, by our research turning up the documentation that demonstrates the role of Tulane University and the role of Naomi Branscum Research Center in Great Britain. And the reason for Naomi, you may be interested as a sideline in knowing, is the suggestion was that the United States was going to go it alone, as it were, with this program of AIDS and chronic fatigue development and spreading among populations that they wanted out of the way, as it were. And if you look into Naomi Branscum Research Center, and if you look into the Bible where the word Naomi is the most prominent starting source, the Americans had suggested that perhaps the British wouldn't be interested in working with them in this effort to discover AIDS and chronic fatigue or refine the agents that caused them. And Britain said, no, 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 they wanted to be in on it. And when you look in the Bible at the word Naomi, and where would that come from? And it comes from the fact that there was this individual, Naomi, and Ruth said unto Naomi, ask me not to go from thee, nor to leave off from following thee, for wheresoever thou goest, I will go, and where thou dwellest, I will dwell, and thy people shall be my people. Now, this was part of the British-American cooperation in many of these terrible programs, including the program of AIDS and Project Naomi and the program of chronic fatigue syndrome and so on. And as I say, we have a considerable amount of evidence that we have managed to scrape up from a variety of very obscure sources, including the source, the few pages that are available out of the hundreds of thousands of pages of MK Naomi, MK Delta, and MK Ultra that did exist, and on the orders of the CIA were all destroyed except for about 71 pages. We now are able to complement those 71 pages with several pages of sources that demonstrate that MK Naomi, MK Delta, and MK Ultra were all part of this whole program of covert warfare against certain populations that were deemed to be less than entitled to all the other human rights that we take for granted. Especially reducing the populations, for example, of the continent of Africa, and covering it up, or covering up an interest in doing something about it by infecting AIDS victims in the United States. Prior to this program, there was no AIDS in the United States. There was no AIDS, period. But when they decided that they had a effective fatal agent that could be used to reduce the world's population, it was necessary that they turn off all the people, the do-gooders, they refer to them sarcastically, the do-gooders who would want to do something about this crime. One way to do it is to appeal to their homophobic predilections and contaminate a group of homosexuals in the United States. So under the guise of inoculating them against what was the disease?
Hepatitis B. It was the experimental hepatitis B vaccine.
Yes, they vaccinated homosexuals in New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. And when those people then emerged as being infected with the first known cases of AIDS, and they called it the gay plague, they turned off, they effectively turned off the research in the United States, which would otherwise have been demanded by the people of the United States, by saying, well, this is an AIDS disease, this is a homosexual disease, this is a lifestyle disease. This is what happens when these primarily men do such aberrant activities as the homosexuals do.
You know, I think it's so interesting, Don, because I lived through all that whole, and of course, as we saw this spreading so rapidly in the homosexuals in San Francisco, as I saw the disease, and of course, the one group you had was this cohort that had been infected, and we saw them going up to a 75% infection rate. 75% of the people who actually had taken this vaccine, and we were able to track those, they were tracked very carefully. So we assumed, of course, never once suspecting that this had been intentionally put in the vaccine, we assumed that 75% of the homosexuals and a large percent of the American public was going to come down with AIDS. Well, it didn't happen, and the reason it didn't happen was all of the evidence suggests that the virus was in the original vaccine, but 75% of the homosexuals that took the hepatitis B vaccine came down with AIDS and died. And the reason that we're not seeing the spread of the disease that to that extent throughout the rest of the homosexual population is very simply because they didn't get the vaccine. Now, the disease is there, and a significant number of the people who have died are homosexuals who did not get the vaccine, but they got it from other homosexuals who did get the vaccine. But they cannot let the American people know that they experiment on people, whether it be the homosexuals in San Francisco, whether it be the prisoners in Huntsville epidemic, Huntsville, Texas, whether it be the Army soldiers in the Gulf War. They cannot let the American people know that they experiment on our servicemen. But if you doubt that, we have something called the Rockefeller Committee Report, a report that came out from the Veterans Administration in 1994 about how they have used our military for guinea pigs. And if you think your son or daughter are thinking of going in the military, you better have them read this report and find out that they have no respect at all for our servicemen, and they've killed many of them with their experiments, and many of them have been biological experiments. But you go right ahead, Don.
Yes, well, by infecting the homosexual population of New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, the U.S. government was able to effectively mount a propaganda program against doing anything about AIDS at all, to the point where
President Reagan,
yes, thank you for that, covering that last, but President Reagan had said at one point when AIDS began to manifest itself initially during his regime, he said, I want to assure the American people that not 1 cent of taxpayers' money will be used to fight this gay plague. And this received the acclaim of so many conservatives throughout the United States for whom AIDS was a moral issue, and they had no idea of the worldwide significance, strategic significance that was going to come out of AIDS, the fact that the population of Africa, a huge, huge percentage of the population of Africa, of every nation in Africa, was vaccinated with a vaccine contaminated by AIDS. And not all of the people who took the vaccine got the disease, but a huge percentage did. And because of the fact that a handful of homosexuals in the United States were labeled as having the gay plague, nothing was done about the terrible tragedy that was unfolding in Africa, where the vaccine against smallpox had been contaminated with the agent that produces AIDS. So the people of Africa had one disease trade in for another, much more fatal and much more widespread, because every black arm they could get to stick a needle in, they got. And when AIDS finally emerged in its full form in Africa, there was already a huge program in the United States to do nothing about AIDS, because it was, quote, unquote, the gay plague. And that was all part of their propaganda efforts, not only to kill off as many black people in Africa as they could possibly kill off, but to keep anybody with a heart from doing anything about it. Reagan had said that not 1 cent of taxpayers' money will be spent on the gay plague as long as I am president. Well, then it got to the point where he couldn't resist any longer, and they began reluctantly letting on. They were researching the gay plague, as they called it. But by that time, the harm had been done. The vaccine was in the arms of millions of black people throughout Africa, and of other third world countries that they could get at. But the idea was to reduce the black population, and they had a very sound scientific reason for knowing that it would work against blacks much more than it would work against whites, because it turns out that black people naturally carry one of the two cofactors of AIDS in their blood already. 40% of black population carry the mycoplasma in their blood and does them no harm. They have become acclimatized to it over the hundreds of thousands of years, but it is a cofactor that works with the newly developed AIDS agent. And so it works against blacks. It doesn't work nearly as effectively against whites, and that again is why blacks in the United States are much more affected by AIDS than are whites.
That's right. The present figure is 240,000 blacks, and the rest, of course, are whites, 560,000. We'll be right back. All right.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Carrying Don's other book, we do carry the very unfortunate Skull Valley incident, a book that Don had written some years ago. And, of course, you certainly would want to get the book written by Dr. Garth Nicholson, of the Project Daylily, that goes into his experiences, looking into the background of AIDS. And certainly Dr. Nicholson's one of the most eminent scientists in the United States today, well-known, well-respected, and we have a number of interviews with him available through Radio Liberty. We carry his book, and that is called Project Daylily. We carry a DVD called Terrible New Diseases, which will begin to put so much of this into perspective. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on AIDS. We have my book, AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. This was written before I really came to realize that the AIDS epidemic was being used for population control, and that is why we were not trying to stop it. I knew we weren't trying to stop it, but I really didn't understand the population control agenda. We have actually three talks. One is called Population Control. One is called Nundair College Genocide. The third is called, and if I was only going to get one, I would get the Planned Population Reduction. About almost a three-hour talk we give on the background of all the things they're doing to destroy the lives of the American people. And then the four-tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians, interviews with Dr. Dinigan, who back in 1969 heard Dr. Richard Day, director of research for the Planned Parenthood, tell about the master plan, even to the point where they were going to build inferior American cars so that our industries could be transferred overseas and the Japanese would produce better cars, and how they were going to suppress treatments for cancer. An amazing set of tapes. Every American should hear this and understand really what we're up against. And that is, of course, organized evil. Well, if you haven't heard, of course, read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to. If you have not yet, of course, heard my talk on the forbidden secret, you need to get it. And we do hope that you remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have so much material. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, or if you'd like a catalog, we'll get one to you. If you haven't yet put in your request for long-term food storage, or to get a Berkey water filter, or the various, of course, health supplies you need, don't forget seeds in a can. Certainly they're advertising with Radio Liberty. They provide canned seeds, and you put them in a cool place. They'll last for up to 10 years, and you want to be able to grow your own food. We're moving into terrible different times. The America that you have known is never going to exist again. There is a plan to lower our living standards, to impoverish our people, the master plan. You can read it in the Earth Charter. Read it, written by billionaires, people with billions of dollars, part of the ruling elite. It's called the Earth Charter. You can pull it down off the Internet. It talks about the new spirituality, the new form of government, the equitable distribution of wealth within nations. That's communism. And between nations, that's globalism. That's why we're shipping our factories overseas. That's why we're shipping our jobs overseas. That's why we're shipping our wealth overseas. And the ultimate goal, the impoverishment of the American people. Oh, people will say, well, maybe we're going to hit the bottom of this, really, maybe that later this year. They're lying to you, ladies and gentlemen. They know the bottom's a long way to go. They're going to wipe out the value of our currency, and by so doing, by debauching the currency, to destroy the very fabric of this society and of the whole world, because their loyalty is to the idea of a one-world government, a one-world religion with the destruction of Christianity, and, of course, the emergence of a one-world leader. And that's really what it's all about. They are planning on bringing in a one-world government with, of course, the one-world leader. If you haven't seen Pastor Billy Crone's DVDs, you need to get them, and please pray for America.